These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Visit economist.com/free copy for a sensible, more considered view. Visit economist.com/free copy now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. New subscribers only. Terms and conditions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, Steve Kim from Los Angeles, and joining me from the Bay Area, where he's left his heart, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. Mr. Montoya, welcome aboard.
Hey, happy Monday to you, Steve. We got a great fight to look ahead to, and kind of an unexpected little trial by fire this last weekend to talk about. So happy Monday. Let's do this.
We've got a lot to talk about. If you want to join in, 347-215-7598. We'll take your calls in about 20 to 25 minutes, and the tweets are already lining up. You could join them at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. Let's get started with round number one. It's top rank on ESPN from Lincoln, Nebraska, Cornhusker country, where the WBO, WBC, IBF, and WBA junior welterweight titles are on the line. For all the marbles at 140, Terrence Bud Crawford takes on Julius Ndongo. Then your co-feature, light heavyweights in action, the Nail, Oleksandr Golubczyk, takes on Craig Baker. Gabe, how much of a shot does Ndongo have? He's tall, he's lanky, he's southpaw, and he's athletic. At the very least, in your opinion, does he give Crawford a stylistic problem?
I think he does. I wonder, you know, if he's got all the punches, you know, and got all the ranges. He seems to be most comfortable at long range, which I think, you know, has led some people to call him more of a postal type character. I think he'll have trouble at the mid and certainly like in close. I think Crawford might be the better fighter there. And I think overall Crawford is more of a fluid fighter than Ndongo is. And I think that's going to serve him well. He's able to fight out of both stances. But, you know, I think the power is real. The experience is real. If Ndongo catches you on the end of his punches, he could do some damage. And we're still kind of finding out what Crawford really is at this weight. And so, you know, I think this is the perfect fight for him. And let's not forget, though, Ndongo, you know, he's coming on late in his career. He's 34 years old. So did he catch a guy with the right punch and then, you know, catch Ricky Burns at the right time, regarding the Edward Chojanovsky fight, you know, which was kind of was like a freak knockout. Nobody expected that first round. And then he comes back and gets Ricky Burns, who's, you know, didn't look exactly that great in his career. So, you know, what is it, you know, really that this fight is? You know, what is this fight really? What is this streak really for Ndongo? I'm not quite sure. I think it's a bit of a proving ground, this fight. I'm excited for it, though. I think it's going to be a good action fight.
I describe it as an athletic chess match. We talked about this last week. Ndongo is like Victor Postol, except that he's black, southpaw, rhythmic, and fluid. Outside of that, they're carbon copies, so I don't want to hear that. To me, Ndongo will be in the fight. I don't know if he'll do enough offensively to get any close rounds in Nebraska, which is certainly the home region of Terrence Crawford. So he may have to come out of his shell and take risks, but you know what? He certainly did that against Chojanovsky. Then he conclusively outboxed Ricky Burns. This guy truly is the current modern-day Mel Gibson. He is the road warrior, winning titles in Moscow and then Glasgow. And he also He is once again example number 843,622 that belts matter. Again, when he fought Edward Troyanovsky, he was a nobody, thought to be an easy title defense. Bang, he wins the IBF belt. And because he has the IBF belt, Ricky Burns, who has the WBA title, decides, you know what? I want to go belt hunting. I want to unify. And then, boom, he beats Ricky Burns, and now he has two belts. So with the two belts, Terrence Crawford and Top Rank say, you know what? We want to make history, because it's few and far between that anyone in the current system can take all four belts. Let's be honest about it. He doesn't get the Burns fight, and he doesn't get the Crawford fight if it was not for the belts. And my understanding is, according to published reports, he's making seven figures for this fight. And Carl Moretti, one of the higher-ups at Top Rank, flat out said, the chance of getting the belts, all the belts, is why he was chosen. So, again, I don't want to hear any of the rhetoric or any of those agendas from those guys trying to do their own sanctioning bodies or the vigilantes who believe we've got to dump the belt system and ignore the belts. This is proof positive, once again, how ill-informed and how dishonest any type of message like that is. Now, with that said, I think Ndongo's a solid guy. He's been on the road. He's punched the passport before. He's not going to be intimidated. But you know what? If Crawford is the guy we think he is, he should win this fight. But keep this in mind. Gabe, if you look at Crawford's record, he's been match made pretty well by Top Rank as usual. Faced a lot of smaller guys moving up in weight and stylistically just better than a lot of guys like a Hank Lundy. Too big and too good. Thierry Jean, too small. Delorme, solid but not spectacular. John Molina, he was a train wreck coming into that fight, and Felix Diaz was simply too small. I do think Ndongo is probably the best overall fighter he's faced recently, and he's solid, he's sound. But you know what? I think Crawford might be the real deal. I've said this for a while. There's a top half dozen or so in boxing. I think Mr. Crawford is one of them, and I think he becomes the undisputed junior welterweight champion of the world on Saturday night by clear-cut, conclusive, unanimous decision, Gabe.
Yeah, I'll take him by decision. You know, I think, you know, while Ndongo is 5'10 and a half to Crawford's 5'8, you know, he's got, 71 and a half inch reach to 70 for Crawford. And I think with that, you know, he knows how to take charge, and he knows how to take charge from the outside. We've seen that in his last two fights. Dictates behind the jab, has nice straight punches. But I think Crawford is going to try to take it inside. I think that's where it's going to be the difference. He's going to dig to the body and make it make Ndongo walk backwards and fight backwards. And I don't think he's going to be as effective. So I'm going Crawford by decision. I'd be surprised if he gets the stoppage. I think Ndongo is going to be a durable foe, and he's going to have his moments. You know, we're going to, like, that's what I say, it's a proving ground. We'll see if Ndongo was just kind of a hidden gem, and at 34 he's finally getting his shot, because he's proof that, you know, you can't really know a career until it's finished. Or, you know, is Crawford really everybody that he's saying? I mean, because honestly, guys are talking like he's the best fighter in the game, or has potential to be, but, you know, Felix Diaz and John Molina Jr. were his last two opponents. You know, Victor Postol, everybody's holding that up, but what's he done since? Like, that win really hasn't gained. Hank Lundy, come on. So I want to see it in this fight. Is he world class? Can he have all the belts? And where does he go from here if he does?
Yeah, and keep this in mind. His star-making breakout performance, I was there in Omaha, was against Yuriorkis Gamboa. Now, you want to talk about a devalued win. Gamboa's best was at 126. That victory, you could just tell Gamboa, who actually won the first three, four rounds, he was a very small, undersized guy. Now, I believe Terrence Crawford certainly passes the eye test, and maybe this is another example. We talk about this a lot, Gabe, one of the Kim mantras. Sometimes it's not if you win, it's how you win. So let's figure that out and judge for ourselves on Saturday night. And the co-feature features the nail in the light heavyweight division, Gobolczyk, who in his last two bouts has blown out Isaac Chalemba and Yuneski Gonzalez, taking on Craig Baker, who, not to be disrespectful, I think his record is better than the actual fighter. I expect once again Gavolzik to score an early round knockout. And quite frankly, he's probably going to look spectacular in doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when your status on BoxRec is listed as inactive, but you have a fight on Saturday, you know, that's not a good sign. You know, El Gato Negro at is a little longer in the tooth. Doesn't have much of a record. It looks like a local record. I think the nail is going to hammer him.
Taking a look at Craig Baker. This is not an opinion. This is a fact. May of 2015, he was blown out early by Edwin Rodriguez. I remember that fight being on an NBC card, if I'm not mistaken. Took off a whole year. And in 2016, on June 12th, he beat Steve Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't fought since.
Yeah.
So once again, are they going to have water in the corner, Gatorade, or WD-40? And let me tell you something. You don't want to be rusty when you go up against the nail, who is certainly a precision puncher from the right-handed stance. And you know what, Gabe? No matter what we think of Craig Baker, though, again, to handle Isaac Chalumba and Yunesky Gonzalez and to be considered
the real deal,
one of the best 175-pounders in the world, and Gabe, he's only 13-0. You could make an argument out of all the non-belt-holding fighters in the world today, he might be the best one below 15-0.
No, I really like his skill set. He's got good balance to him. He's to me is a guy that will be the future of the division. Arguably, you know, he is that at this point. You know, we'll see. You know, with Baker, this is a stay busy. I think he needs to get more experience. It would be good if Baker could extend him because he's going to need rounds. You know, early knockouts are not going to do it. But the Chalumba win was tremendous, and it signals like his level, because it's not always who you face, but how you face him. And Jesus, you know, he's a scary force, real power.
Oleksandr Gavolzik, much like a Dmitry Bivol, Mr. Montoya, I believe until a sanctioning body mandates him, I don't think any of the belt holders are in a rush to raise their hand and say, I want some of that guy. So once again, that's why belts matter and sanctioning bodies are needed. Also on this undercard from the home that was built by Eric Piakowski, Shakur Stevenson, Mike Alvarado, Bryant, Bye-Bye Jennings, Nicholas Walters, and Dillian White are all on the card, and they'll be streamed on the ESPN app. Gabe, do you need to buy any Mayweather-Conor McGregor tickets? Because if you have a Macy's card, you might be able to get a bit of a discount. Boy, how farcical has this become? I mean, by next week, Gabe, and we'll have Jim Boone to really give us the scoop next week before you go on vacation. Gabe, this thing's going to end up not only at Kmart as a blue light special. I'm getting the sense they might even end up at the 99-cent store. Wow.
Seriously. People might be gifting Mayweather McGregor tickets at Burning Man, you know, just you head into the gate, you get a free one. That's I have to check and see if I've got any those Macy's gift cards we got for our wedding. You know, maybe I can work out a deal over there because I got to pick up some socks. You know, for the burn. It's really, how far has it fallen? If you can produce another angle of the Mayweather or the McGregor and Malignaggi sparring, can you get a free ticket? You know, some footage we haven't seen.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea.
Is that?
Yeah, I want to pick up a Claiborne sweater, some Cool Water cologne, and if I have an extra spare $48,000, maybe a couple of ringside tickets. Here's the thing. This is the reverse Gordon Gekko. We all knew this was a money grab. We all knew there was a bushel full of money to be made. But even then, there's too much of a good thing where, listen, it's one thing to exploit a market. But when you exploit it to the degree that they attempted to, listen, greed here was not good. And to me, the ticket sales do not speak of a disinterest in the event. There's still a lot of interest. It is still dominating the social media as it relates to sporting events and combat sports. The pay-per-view, in my opinion, will do very, very well. But when you price anything to the degree that they did, Gabe, there's an old saying from a very wise man that I heard not too long ago. Pigs get slaughtered. They're getting exactly what they deserve here.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's, people that expect it, you know, the tickets, looking at the ticket sales and saying it's doing poorly and all that, expecting it to be an empty, you know, theater come pay-per-view night, or even looking at the pay-per-view numbers that they're expecting to be bad, they're going to be sorely disappointed, you know. I don't think there'll be a smoking gun there. But whether they paper the house or whether or not, I just don't think they're going to meet their goal ultimately. I mean, when you look at that, you sent me that screenshot, I'm like, $50,000 or $51,000 for a ticket. Like, that's just, you know, like dude that gets killed in Scarface says, don't be a haza, you know, Frank, you know, you can't just go up there and be a pig and just rape the fans that got you where you are. That's what's so disgusting to me about this, is they know that the guys they built their careers off of, John Q boxing fan, can't afford this. Or the MMA guys that have been watching since, you know, the first UFC, that were there long before Conor McGregor showed up as fans, that buy all those pay-per-views. Those people now are being charged $100, and there ain't no way they're getting a ticket. That's just ridiculous to me. That's what sickens me more than anything about all of it.
Well, Gabe, how about Leonard Spicerby? And yes, I said Spicerby. At the Mayweather Media Day, say, well, we put those tickets on, what was it, Walmart or Montgomery Ward or whatever it was. So the housewife in Idaho, that if she wants to buy tickets, that, yeah, let's get tickets, honey. Yeah, like, you know, like, I'm sure there are loads of people in Des Moines and Bismarck that are saying, honey, you know what, forget about our 401k. Let's cash it out. Let's go see this fight. What I really find interesting are those who are complicit and just writing down everything Ellerbe says like it's gospel, as if they really have $60 million in the box, as if ticket sales are really going well, especially in light of the fact that the secondary market is sinking like the Titanic after the iceberg. I guess these guys really, really want to keep their ringside credential. And speaking of this event, can I just say something? I've got to give old Conor McGregor credit. When he trolls, he does not leave anything on the table. Not only did they now, they released a picture. They flat out said, you know what, Paulie, you want to keep yapping your mouth? We're going to release the video. And I saw it. And Gabe, for the sake of our millions of listeners out there on the Leave It in the Ring radio network, I broke down the footage frame by frame like a Zapruder film. And my conclusion is, yeah, it was a knockdown. I mean, Gabe, was it Tommy Hearns knocking Pepino Cuevas from his senses on one leg teetering? No. Was it Julian Jackson basically knocking the life out of Terry Norris? No. But, Gabe, in a fight, there would have been a mandatory 8. It was a knockdown.
It's clear. Driving him backwards, lands a shot. It's almost maybe 2, and guy goes down. And you can talk about the forearm or whatever, but, you know, you can tell it happened by how much Paulie is just yapping away. But
oh,
also,
so Gabe,
like
so Gabe,
about.
He's not protesting too much, as they say?
A little bit, just a little bit. And then he's got to explain it, and the story slides and changes. It's like, you know what doesn't have to do that? The truth. And you look at the video, and it's a knockdown. Just deal with it, man. You opened your mouth. You ran it and said you could beat Conor with one hand, and the fight was a joke. And now here he is selling it. It reminds me of him complaining to us about Al Haymon and Golden Boy and all that. And then all of a sudden – and saying on video to some other reporter, I'm too much man to sign with Al Haymon. And look at him now. You know, as soon as Tarver's spot opens up, boom, he jumps right in there. And he's the announcer, and he's towing the company line, and he's selling this fight. We talked about it last week about how it's kind of a work. But, I mean, how many interviews did Paulie do this week? If he's so shamed by it, shut up about it.
And, Gabe, guess what? We're suckers, too. We're talking about it now. But it's so funny that we don't give a damn. But again, to expound on what I said about pawns, pawns get sacrificed on the chessboard all the time, and I'm going to add to it this week. Pawns do not tell the chess master how they are utilized. Paulie wanted to be a good company man and be a part of this promotion and help push it. Well, Paulie, here you go. Good job. And one last thing here, Gabe. I'm sure you saw my story for UCN Live on Demetrius Andrade, who basically his career in the last few years since signing his life away to Roc Nation Sports, or at least attempting to, has gone to Bolivian. I am being told that the WBA will mandate that their super champion, Arislande Lara, if he wants to keep that particular title, must face Andrade, who is the regular belt holder for the WBA at 154. Again, Gabe, if it wasn't – and I'm not saying this is a great matchup. I'm not saying there's going to be a lot of fireworks. But can anyone argue with me on this? If it wasn't for the sanctioning body, who else would be mandating and forcing this type of stuff?
Oh, no one. I mean, you know, because nobody really wants to see Lara fight, you know. And Demetrius, he's actually become more of an action fighter, you know, as he's moved along. He's fighting with a different urgency. He's definitely in his man strength. The guy's a specimen to watch him train. It's unbelievable seeing him spar live. I've never seen him fight live. But nobody would be calling for this fight. I don't get that line of thinking. You know, we need one champion and all that. We need one champion that earned those belts. That's awesome. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But, Gabe, we still need the four lanes to get there.
Gabe, give me a system. Create an avenue where our champions fight more than once every 6, 7, 8, 9 months.
Yes.
Then let's eradicate a belt. Till then, let's be pragmatic and realistic and stop taking away avenues for fighters to make more money. Because Julius Ndongo is making seven figures. Without the two belts, he ain't making two nickels to rub together. But again, people want to have it both ways. Going to the Twitter timeline, of course, we start off with the president, Andrew V. Kennedy. So when it's all said and done, which top-ranked fighter do you feel will benefit the most from the ESPN deal? Loma, Crawford, or someone else? Gabe, I got another name because he's got a fan-friendly style and he's Mexican. Oscar Valdez.
Yeah, I mean, well, why not, you know, why not Brichelt or Corrales? Like, I think, I was watching a Loma interview today, and he's talking about, with Marcos Villegas, and he talked about, you know, there's fights to be made at 130. You know, and he named off Brichelt, he named off Corrales, and then he got off on a tangent about Davis, because Davis, you know, because of the politics, that fight can't happen. He said the same thing about Mikey Garcia. But I want to see those other two fights. I'm not really interested in anything else other than unification. I think maybe – what do you think if the belts – it's probably never happened. But a fix would say if you hold the belt, you have to fight three times a year.
Yeah. Here's the problem. Who's going to enforce that, though? Maybe the sanctioning body can. They'd be about the only one. Now, under the goal or the mission statement of Top Rank and ESPN – it is to make sure that a likes of a Lomachenko, Crawford, and an Oscar Valdez eventually will fight 3-4 times a year. I mean, Loma's already got another date planned for him, either December 9th or the 23rd. And if should that come to fruition, regardless of who it's against, that would be three fights for 2017. Here's one from Mike at Black Irish 30. I think Crawford handles Ndongo. If so, where does he go next? Would you rather see him fight Spence or have Loma move up and fight him? Gabe, Loma is really a featherweight, masquerading as a 30-pounder. Now people want him to move up two weight divisions. If those are my two choices, and again, I don't think it's fair for Crawford to be asked to move up without a guarantee of any of these Heyman guys at 147 facing him. But again, if it came down to Spence or Loma, I would personally go with Spence, Gabe.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, there's – he could, well, you know, there's not a lot at 140. Regis Progre is going to, you know, is moving up in the BC, and Amir Imam is right there. There's not a lot for him at 140. But, yeah, I mean, the Loma fight just doesn't even seem real to me. I mean, I think from 126 to 130, there's enough guys to feed Loma. And at some point he moves to 35, but I don't think he should be in a rush to do that. He's got plenty of fights, you know, within there. So, yeah, I think with Crawford, I don't know, do you jump straight to Spence, though? Or does he test his feet? He probably will, you know, knowing
Crawford. Yeah, and being realistic, I don't see that fight materializing anytime soon. Question from Tommy G. If Dillian White cross paths with Bryant Jennings, who you got? Gabe, I'm a big believer in activity and guys staying active, and in this case, that is certainly Dillian White. Give me him.
Yeah, I like his toughness. I like the way he fights, how game he is. I think he's got good enough power. Yeah, I go with White.
Here's one from YDKGOT. Is Pauly still crying? Yes. Louder and louder each day. Again, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Let me see. There's a couple of other tweets here we can get to. Oh, here's one from Evan Young. Crawford will beat the Donger by stoppage. And then he adds big step down for the nail. Baker made Edwin Rodriguez look like Archie Moore. Now, Gabe, you know Edwin Rodriguez a little bit. You've been around him.
A little bit.
When's he fighting again?
No idea. You know?
Okay.
No idea. He came up here that one time, and he went 365. Everything was cool, and then didn't win the fight, didn't come back. I think, you know, he and Victor probably still talk, but he may still wear snack stuff. But I always find it interesting, like I talked about, the guys that come up for the mini camp and they get all excited, they don't really follow through versus the guys that are doing that program all the time. Like, you know, it's about staying consistent. And you've seen the career trajectory. I don't think he stayed very consistent. Well,
all right, folks, we are here till at least 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And as always, we have available bonus championship rounds on the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network, hosted by Gabe Montoya and yours truly, Steve Kim. Gabe, let's get to the phone lines.
All right, then. 860, you're live on the next round. 860?
CT?
It's usually
CT? Or no?
Going once? Well, I'll get back to him later.
Get back to him, yeah.
530. You've been waiting a long time. Ringside Robbie?
Hello there, Gabe, Steve. Good evening to you, Ringside
Robbie.
Hey,
what's going on, Robbie?
First of all, I think Crawford wins this fight going away, unanimous decision. I don't know.
Nice.
I haven't seen Ndongo enough to know whether he stops him or not, but I think this is an easy fight for Crawford. And I think Crawford will probably move up, Steve, and he will get the winner of Pacquiao Horn, whoever wins that fight. I think that is how he debuts at 147.
What, so, Robbie, you don't believe that the Pacquiao Horn rematch, should the Pac-Man come out victorious and regain his title, you don't think that's the swan song where he walks off into the sunset?
No, if Pacquiao wins, I do think he walks off into the sunset, which means that title becomes vacant, and Crawford moves up, and he becomes one of the people that fights for that title. Doesn't it make sense to you?
You know, I have to be honest here. Manny Pacquiao probably needs the money, and boxing is filled with stories. Guys coming back for one last payday. Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes is a perfect example. So, you know, even though I don't think it's going to happen, I certainly admit it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, realistically, that is how Crawford makes his debut at 147, because otherwise he's completely shut out thanks to the boxing politics and whoever else is in 147. I mean, basically, the 147-pound division will show that he's on the wrong side of the street to get fights. And this is why we need the political side of boxing to somehow be fixed, and I don't know if it ever will.
You know, that is certainly a reality. So, Robbie, quick question here. Are you actually looking forward to Ndongo Crawford?
Yes, I am, because it's a historic event, Steve. I mean, the only fight I could come up with that even comes close to this was when Bernard Hopkins fought and lost to Kelly Pavlik when all four middleweight belts were on the line. I mean, I don't think and that was 12 years ago. I don't think we've had a fight with all four belts on the line since then. And as I stated on my show yesterday, this is a fight, even though we don't know much about the opponent, we have to take seriously as boxing fans, because two guys, four belts, and it's on regular free, you know, basic cable. You don't have to pay $100 for a disaster, which I'm not doing, by the way. I'm not going to a movie theater to pay $40. I'm not paying for it at home. And you don't have to pay extra for this. Under the old system, the way they used to do things, a fight like this would be on pay-per-view. And thanks to Top Rank and ESPN, it doesn't have to be.
Okay, Robbie, you have been heard. Thank you very much.
All right, see you guys later.
Bye, man.
347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
I misheard. I was looking at the numbers while you were asking me about the president's tweets. I misheard it. I think it's too soon to tell who's going to benefit the most from the ESPN deal. Let's go through a cycle and see what the crowd says.
Agreed.
And what the fights say. 405, you're live on the next round.
Hello, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey,
Good, what's
doing?
Going
Badgers?
On?
Not much. I'm excited for the fight this weekend, like you guys were talking about. We have all the belts on the line. I think Terrence Crawford will win by unanimous decision. For some reason, it seems like sometimes he can put the gas on, but it seems like at times he just settles, like, just cruising along, so he'll just go with the decision. But I have some coworkers at work that I had started talking to him about going back to the Lomachenko fight, about the ESPN deal, and I started seeing him talking about Lomachenko, and then one time I called him, I was like, hey, what you doing? He's like, oh, I'm watching the rerun of Lomachenko and Sosa. And like, and the other day I was watching Lomachenko versus Salido. And this guy was a casual, and he's like, and so my friends at work started to watch that Lomachenko and Mariaga last weekend.
Yeah.
Was it last weekend or a couple weeks? And,
it was last
they
weekend.
They were both excited seeing Lomachenko. They were, so I think a bunch of top ranked fighters are going to benefit from this, especially Lomachenko and then the same guy today.
Santos.
Yes.
They will benefit from this. It's a combination of both. If they fight real guys and they are active, can't have one without the other. Need the quality and the quantity.
Yeah, you're right.
And they gotta perform. It's gotta be that's the magic part about boxing. It's, you know, they've gotta have that performance that you can't really, you just plan for. You hope to be in the best shape, but you know what if, you know, Crawford and Dongo also has high potential to be a stinker, and what if that's your first impression to the ESPN crowd? You know,
yeah,
I don't think Pacquiao Horn was exactly a great first impression. It was kind of ugly, day fight. It's kind of bloody, but not in a good way. It just was, you know, ugh. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I think that kind of I listen to some other channels like YouTube, but I mostly sometimes just listen to what they say, because a lot of times they just say they're biased. But it seems like a lot of those channels, like, they like to shit on Lomachenko. Like, they were like, well, he hasn't fought nobody. He needs to step up and fight somebody. And these same guys are the one rip Wilder or Stevenson or other fighter that Lauda who haven't fought nobody in, like Wilder hasn't fought nobody, they won't say anything about him. But Lomachenko only has 10 pro fights. And you look at his resume, it's a decent resume for only 10 fights. But I just find it funny that he seems to always find a way to shit on the other guys. But
like I said, the double standard, no standard. And it's just funny how that works out. And again, Lomachenko's last few fights, it hasn't exactly been, you know, monsters of the midway, but in the totality of what he's fit in with 10 fights, given the political climate of the sport and the divisions that exist, listen, I think he's trying to make fights. I think he's in the exact same spot Gennady Golovkin was in 2014. Santos, we got to run. Thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. And Gabe, speaking of Deontay Wilder, doesn't he say like every 2 weeks or so that in a week or so he's got a big announcement, and then another 2 weeks goes by with no announcement?
Yeah, like I have an interview with someone from a couple of weeks back that I was kind of waiting because the fight's more pertinent, you know, the video's more pertinent to a fight happening in September. But that talked about, you know, I'm going to be on probably on Wilder's card, and it's going to be this certain time, and it's like waiting. Like, how do you promote a career like that? When nobody really knows what's going on. You don't have your next, you know, there's no storyline. There's no, that's what I mean. You know, a lot of these guys had a great manager, but no promoter. And they had people convincing them that this is the way it should be. And I, you know, when it's your career, I just don't, unless you're the trailblazer, I wouldn't trust this other guy to be a trailblazer manager with your career. And I think the epitaph for a lot of these Heyman fighters is they got paid well. That's great. But then nobody really remembers you. You know, there's the other part of it. Because no one, you know, there's no storyline. I mean, Berto, he's at the end of his career. I mean, it's, you know, 8 title defenses, made a lot of money, probably has all his money from what I understand. But, you know, I mean, it's not, there's no depth to it. And that'll be Deontay Wilder's career. Looks like it anyways. Let's head back to the phone lines. 323, you're live on the next round. 323?
Hello. Or not.
Bueller?
Bueller?
wow, we got a lot of unlisted. Unlisted number one, you're live on the next round. All right. Unlisted number two, you're live on the next round. I like burning through these because I hate saying
unlisted,
unlisted
and
number three. Yeah, unlisted number three. Will you care to join us on the next round? Yes.
Wow.
All right. Wow. 3 knockdowns in a row. I'm like the hawk over here.
This is Dempsey-Firpo. This is Dempsey-Firpo.
951, you're live on the next round. Wow, it really is. 4 knockdowns in a row. 347, you're live on the next round.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Okay, so just a couple quick questions for you. Okay, so Kim, you know, I read your piece on the Andre versus Laura thing. Just kind of wanted to get your both your opinions on who would you guys consider the favorite going into that fight. I think it's a pretty even fight.
I agree. And, you know, whoever has a better night on that particular fight date, you know, I don't have a real strong feeling about it. I think age is certainly on Andre's side, but you know what? Andre, for as talented as we think he is, he labored against Jack Colcai. And I don't know if that's an aberration or a guy traveling overseas that didn't pack his game with them, but I would think that it's going to be a distance fight, and judging and how they interpret what's going on in the ring will mean a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's a long, terrible fight. I think, though, I like Andrade, though, in it. I pick him going away. I think, you know, Lara, though, he's going to – those legs – until the legs go – you know, he won't be an exciting guy. And I think he seems like he's pretty healthy. So it's going to be a track meet. And with Andrade trying to get him. I think it was the Colcai fight was exactly that, Steve. Him traveling, it's always a hard thing to plan for if you're not really used to it. I wonder if he's a good planner, Andre. It seems to be a little all over the place the whole career. I'm at this gym. I'm with this trainer. Then I'm over here. Then I'm going to do this. He's a little unfocused for my taste.
Gotcha. My next question. So really weird question for you guys. How come when a fighter loses, somebody like a Danny Garcia, a Victor Postel, or a Austin Trout, they all three lost their last fights. They didn't get knocked out or anything like that, but how come when a fighter loses, they typically take like 8 years off?
Well, they could thank Al. Honestly, that even if they win, they take a lot of time off. Look, Sean Porter recently had a win, and he was added to the Fox portion of Mayweather-McGregor. My question is this. If that card never came to fruition, are we sure Sean Porter would fight the rest of 2017?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. Other than yeah, they can afford to. When they're with Al, they can afford to. But it's, you know, so you really kind of see the drive. There are some people that get paid well that they're just never happy. They keep going and pushing towards greatness. But in this era, I mean, even Floyd's career, like, you know, somebody was saying that McGregor is like the worst opponent in his entire career. I don't know if I agree with that, but it's probably going to be close. And you know, but it's about the money. And that's all it's about.
Okay. Just my last question for you guys. I mean, the undercard of the Floyd Mayweather thing, I mean, it's not that great, but, you know, it's pretty decent. I'm really looking forward to the Badu Jack fight. I think he's a really, really, really good fighter. Might be even a little bit underrated. Right now, I personally have him as, like, number two in 175. I think
Badu Jack?
Yeah. Me personally.
He has not had a single fight at 75. And you can place him at number two. So you're saying he's better than Sergey Kovalev, Adonis Stevenson, Gavodzic, Artur Beterbiev, Sullivan Barrera. Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am sure because it's kind of like you said. I think it was you, Steve, that said it not too long ago that if Kovalev was to fight Stevenson right now, you would favor Stevenson. But if it was 2 years ago, you probably would have favored Kovalev. So it depends on, like, the timing and things like that. So that's where I'm kind of at with that. I think he can really give Andre the real tough fight. I think he's really strong mentally and physically, and he's a really good boxer as well.
He's also been knocked out in one round by Derek Edwards.
Yeah, but...
And these guys can punch. And by the way, he went life and death with Bigel, who I don't think that's all that good.
Bigel's not that good? Oh, Steve, stop. Bigel's not that good? Come on,
two
man.
Words, Porky Medina.
you got it.
I'll say it right now. The best part of the Gale is his sister. She's lovely.
No comment. I love her too, but no comment.
yeah, comment on that. She's all right. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, we can agree to disagree, but keep this in mind. The winner of that fight that you spoke of, I believe the mandatory is Dmitry Bivol. I would love to see that.
He only had like 10 fights.
Okay. I'll say this. The B-ball people aren't backing away from it.
All right. So let me just ask you one quick question before you guys kick me off. Obviously, Bivol is like pretty good. Who do you think is better, Bivol or the other guy? I forgot his name.
Gavodzic or Beterbiev?
Beterbiev. Who do you think is better?
Interesting question.
I kind of like Bivol or Bivol. Is it Bivol?
Yeah, and keep this in mind. All those other guys are around 29, 30, 31. Bivol is only 26. I think his best is really out in front of him.
He doesn't look super ripped, but like long, lean power. He's kind of like White Tito a little bit. He looks like our friend Kevin, actually. Yeah. Doesn't he?
Yeah, okay, that's always a qualification. I say, does that guy look like Kevin? That's a fighter there.
He kind of looks like Kevin.
Anyway, listen, thank you for the call. Who do you got this week before he let you go, Crawford or Ndongo?
Oh, Crawford, easy, Crawford.
No, you know what? I don't disagree. Thank you for the call. Join us again, 347-215-7598. I like Badu Jack. I think he's come a long way from Derek Edwards. But, Gabe, that 75, that is a treacherous landmine filled with some heavy-handed bastards. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. I would definitely pick him over Mike Lee. But, you know, number two.
Oh, well, you are bold. You are bold, Gabe. Whoa, Gabe. Wow. Don't go out on too much of a limb there, Montoya.
Yeah. Just, you know, he may want to dip his toe first. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Gabe, can you throw me back in about 10 minutes?
Yes,
sure.
Hey, we're here for you. You know what? Go eat. Go get your eats on.
313, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up? Hey, well, it's Rib Fest Friday and Saturday in Lincoln, man, so get ready.
And you're going, correct? I believe I'm being told there's going to be a capacity crowd. And according to Carl Moretti of Top Rank, he told me earlier today that with the walk-up, they might actually open up a few more sections. That's going to be a lively atmosphere you're going to in the house of Piakowski. Hello?
I think we lost him. Sounded like he was going up some stairs. So he
was so in awe that he must have fainted. That's what I think happened. Anyway, let's get back to him. Well, I want to hear what he has to say.
All right.
Always a good caller.
Okay. 209, you're live on the next round.
Hello, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey,
I'm doing
right. What's up?
Not much. I'm just listening to the show and enjoying it as always. I think the Crawford Indigo fight is going to be a 50-50. I'm just hoping he doesn't do another Pasto, because he could have knocked that Pasto easy from the 7 on, and he just let it go, just wanted to make points, and that's it, and made it a boring fight. And I hope he doesn't do that this time. And if he can get the knockout, go for it and make it a great fight, make a great impression.
To do that to a guy who's never lost and to make it emphatic, and again, he's trying to make new fans here on the four-letter network. Trini, I agree with you. Instead of putting a period at the end of the sentence, put an exclamation mark.
Exactly. I was so mad because I bought that pay-per-view just to support it, you know, because...
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I was mad. I was mad afterwards because, I paid for that just to watch that. You know, I was so mad because he could have knocked that poster and make him look a lot bigger. But he decided to do a Floyd, just make it boring and just take the points. And I was pissed over that, you know.
Gabe, do you think given the fact that they are on ESPN now, a guy like Crawford does have to have an understanding you need style points now?
I think he's going to be who he is. You know, I'm sure somebody's going to tell him that. You know, I think also, within the stable maybe, there's a professional pride. He saw what Lomachenko did and how it resonated, you know, and he's seen how Pacquiao resonated. So I imagine, you know, he's a guy that performs when the lights are on. Post-off fight, you warned everybody, Steve. You knew that was going to be a stinker.
Yeah.
All of us were kind of hoping, you know. So we'll see.
But
this
by the way, Post-off is about as mechanical as a robot, but he's also tall and he's physically durable. It's not an easy guy to knock out. I don't necessarily hold against Crawford. I really don't.
I still remember he had him, I think it was the sixth or seventh round, that Post almost went down, but he just let him go. He had him right there, and he just let him go. You know, he just wanted to, I'm just going to outbox it, make it an easy night, take it on points, and that's it. You know, and I understand there's fights that they're so hard that you can't look at Beltran. Ray Beltran, he just fought. That was a tough fight. He wanted the knockout, but when he understood he couldn't get it, he went all the way to 10 rounds. And I don't mind it because it was a good fight. It didn't bore me. But, you know, you're going to get those type of matches. You're never going to get everyday knockouts. But, you know, when you have it right there, you have the kill ready, just move for the kill. He would have moved, and I guarantee he would have knocked out Pulsar, but he just laid back, wanted to do a Floyd, and he stunked it out. And I was mad, but I'm just hoping that that don't happen this weekend. And Indigo, I haven't seen him much. I just seen the way he beat that when he became the champion, when he knocked that other guy out and then Burns. And I think he's going to give a good fight, too. That's why I'm putting it 50-50. I like Crawford and everything, but, you know, people can't underestimate Indigo, too, because to be two champions and unify two belts and coming to the States now, he's hungry, too. You know, now he made $1 million or whatever his purchase. In his mind, if I beat Crawford, he's going to make more now. So it's all motivation for him, too.
I wouldn't mind seeing a 50-50 fight. It would surprise me, but hey, it's why you fight the fights.
Exactly. But
all right.
I just hope the winner. Hey, can you do me one favor, Steve?
Yeah.
I just next time you start calling out, wondering about all those PBC fighters, where they've been, just pick the right guy, because as soon as you mentioned Figueroa, he fought. So you mentioned Mickey Bay, he was ready to fight until he got injured. So
I don't think it has anything to do with me. I mean, again,
Trini,
the guys that I mentioned have been gone off for so long. They're
due
anyway. It's, you know.
I see you mentioned them. They're coming back. They put it, okay, Steve mentioned this guy. Let's bring him back. And, you know, just pick him wisely.
All right, how about this?
That's,
hey, okay, Gabe, this one's just for you. Jeez, I wonder what's going on with Peter Quillen.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
No, but seriously, Trini, thank you for the call.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Peter Quillen has not fought since he was stopped in 90 seconds in December of 2015. Gabe, is he effectively retired?
He's hibernating, animal style. Yeah. 801, you're live on the next round. Yeah, whatever happened to that guy? 801, you're live on the next round.
I'm just listening today, guys. Thanks.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No worries. Man, it is Reluctant Roy Monday. 619, you're live on the next round. 619.
Ooh.
Wow, just another, yet another. 209.
Another one. Swinging them.
Yeah.
Like the San Diego Padres.
209.
Hey,
how's
it going?
How
you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I'm looking forward to this weekend's fight. I'm actually looking forward to the ESPN platform. I really do enjoy seeing the undercard. I mean, all the way from the undercard to the very end. I think it's pretty good.
Now, do you stream it on the app? Are you watching on your laptop or tablet before the actual main broadcast comes aboard?
You know what? I have the Chromecast. So what I do I log into the app and just stream it from my phone, and I have it right on my TV.
Now, what has been your general thoughts on the first two ESPN broadcasts based on the production and the announcing and the graphics and the packaging? What have been your thoughts on that?
The announcement, the commentary, when I hear Teddy Atlas, I think of ESPN Fight.
You hear that, Gabe?
Tim I've been on ESPN for a long time. I mean, you know, Bradley, I think he needs to grow into that role a little bit better. As for the production, I like it. The scheduling on the TV, like for example, when they say it starts at 7 o'clock, and they start a little bit later, I get it. Sports come on; they don't necessarily end at a certain time. That's why I enjoy the platform. I enjoy the app. I mean, I can continue to watch the whole thing. And I think the rest of the public, as soon as they start to use the app, they'll start to appreciate it a lot more. I really do like it. Everything. I like it, and it's at the point now where I'm really trying to justify continuing to have HBO. I think after the fight with Tito, I mean, I'm really going to decide whether I still need HBO or not. I mean, I'm getting my boxy fix to ESPN and Showtime.
Now, you don't watch Game of Thrones or Insecure or Ballers or HBO Real Sports or reruns of Real Sex?
I watch Ballers. I watch Ballers, and my girlfriend watches Game of Thrones. She won't let me discontinue it because of Game of Thrones. I tried watching Game of Thrones. I just couldn't get into it, man. I fell asleep. It put me asleep.
What about Insecure? I think they've had a great sophomore season. I think that's one of the sharpest comedies around. You don't watch Issa Rae and crew?
No, I don't watch Insecure. This one I watch HBO for. I have HBO for boxing. I had HBO for Ballers. And let me see. What's the other one?
Hard Knocks?
Homeland. No,
yeah, Hard Knocks is very good.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's not bad. But in all honesty, I signed up for HBO because of the boxing.
Now, do you watch Jim Lampley's Fight Game?
Oh yeah. That's actually pretty good.
Okay.
You know,
But
yeah,
that,
it's a hard habit. It's a hard habit, man, for just to have for boxing. It's not really geared as a boxing network.
No, but,
no,
but
it's not.
They gave you good fights. No, I know, but they gave you good fights. They gave you something at least once a month. They were giving you something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all right, here's a question. Since you still have HBO for the time being, on the night of August 26th, and you know what I'm talking about, the decision that a lot of boxing fans will have to make, what's your night going to be like?
Okay, I have a birthday party for my daughter. She turns 1 year old. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be watching – actually, I'm going to be having a birthday party for my daughter. But I'm going to be DVRing the Cotto fight. When everybody leaves, I plan on watching the Cotto fight.
Ooh,
my guess.
And don't forget, I think they're premiering 24/7 also for Golovkin Canelo that day.
Okay, yeah, I could DVR that. But the people I have coming over, they're a lot of casuals or MMA fans.
Yeah,
they're
boot them
really
out early. Yeah, get them out of here. Get him out of here. Oh, and by the way,
we're talking about that fight, right?
Yeah. In August 26th, if you're a real college football junkie, Stanford plays Rice in Sydney, Australia, along with some other Pac-12 games, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Stanford is good this year.
We'll see about that.
I'm actually hoping the Ducks. No, you know what? I think USC has a good chance this year.
They certainly have a good quarterback. Gabe, best quarterback in LA, in fact, Sam Darnold. Just kidding. Because everyone knows it's still Philip Rivers. Anyway, listen, thank you for the call. Call in next week.
Oh, right,
guys,
brutal.
Thank you very much.
By the way, just going off topic, I didn't know you were that down on Goff this early. I thought you were unsure of him. You've just seen enough, and you say, this guy's Buster. He's Western Marcus Russell.
Yeah, he's Buster. I just – why? I just right off the bat, I knew. I was like, nah. You know, Sam Bradford, people were on the fence about him. I saw him play. I felt like if he had a line, that guy – there was something about him.
Yeah, he was injured. Gabe, he showed flashes. Gabe, I'll say this right now. The Rams draft choices, Cooper Kupp and that tight end, Gerald Everett, they look good. I think those guys are going to be players. The kid out of A&M, I didn't get to see him much on Saturday, Jamal Reynolds. He's a real fast guy. I think he's going to be a good player. And I thought – people think I'm crazy, but I know Eric Dickerson agrees with me. Is Sean Mannion their best core? I kind of like Mannion better than Goff.
I've liked Mannion since last preseason. I think he played better than anybody else, and I'm like, why isn't he the starter?
Yeah.
And you know, but that's being a Rams fan is having the answer right in front of you, but for whatever reason, we go the other way. So we've surrounded him with all these guys, made the big trade. Who's going to throw to him?
Yeah, Gabe. That's what people seem to forget is not only was Goff the number one pick. But the worst part is the Rams gave up a lot to move up from, the 15th spot. They were actually 8-8. I think people forget that. They were not terrible before Goff. They were just Jeff Fisher 8-8. They're typically mediocre, you know?
Yeah, probably overworked. probably beaten into the ground into 8-8. And also just unimaginative. I never understood why we stayed with Jeff Fisher so long, but you know.
Yeah.
Do you watch
those
crashing?
Rookies are good though, Gabe. I think you're going to like them.
I can't wait to see it. You know, regular season, preseason. I'm kind of evaluating my fantasy team right now and getting excited again, getting the jersey out. But man, I think it's going to be another rough season. Let's actually the lines have actually filled up while we're talking about a completely different sport.
That's what it took, Gabe. Gabe, let's do our NHL report at 5:30, okay?
Yeah. I'll break down my HBO favorites.
Yeah.
585, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys, it's Jake from Rochester.
Jake, what's
going on?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
No, I just wanted to get your take on the Ndongo Crawford fight. I think this fight will probably go the distance. I don't really see these guys I guess taking a lot of risks in this fight. Both guys can hurt each other with a shot. Both guys are long. I see them being very careful, tentative, and strategic, I guess, for lack of a better word, for a lot of this fight. How do you see this fight going, guys?
Pretty much like that. I mean, Gabe, if there's pressure on someone to make the fight because they're trying to make this guy into a star and it's on ESPN, you would think the impetus has to be on Crawford, don't you think? Or am I wrong in that?
Well, I mean, they're going to look at the focus will be on him, and I think the storyline will be it's star-making time. But, you know, it's the guy from Namibia that's got to fight out of his head in order to get a decision.
Yeah.
So it's really the onus is on him. I kind of think, though, you know, whenever – and I don't like the profile, but sometimes it's quicker. When I see a fighter from Africa, usually from Ghana, I think it's just a sheer bet. He's going to be a rough night at the office for the other guy. But I just they tend to go the distance. A little bit tougher breed, but it's just the upbringing, the region. But I look at this cat, and I just think it's not going to be an easy night. But he's 34, and he's traveling. You know, maybe his luck runs out. Maybe Crawford really is that dude. I mean, some guys are like, everybody needs to watch this guy. He's like the most special fighter of the last 20 years. I've seen guys talk like about him that way. But let's see it. Let's see the real performance.
Jake,
one
anything
other
else?
Yeah, I keep hearing that Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux is pretty close to being made. I don't know if that's true or not, but have you heard anything, Steve?
Bob Arum told me on Friday that basically they have two offers out, one for Rigondeaux, one for Orlando Salido. Whoever jumps first, you're the next opponent for Lomachenko.
Well, I honestly hope it's Salido. I don't really want to watch Lomachenko, Rigondeaux. That is a real chance to be a stinker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of want to see Salido for one reason. I want to see the internet Twitter meme meltdown of Rigondeaux if Salido gets the fight and not them.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the guy's going to – he wants to close the loop on the career. I think it's a pretty easy fight to pick, the Salido fight, just because the way the first fight was going, Lomachenko was kind of figuring him out, becoming a pro. I think he's got his feet under him at this point and momentum on top of it as a pro. I just don't think it's as much of a challenge. But at the same time, I look at the Rigo fight. And in that same interview with Marcos Villegas of Fight Hub, Lomachenko was talking about the way he talked about the Rigo fight. He just said, you know, at 130, you got the sense that he didn't think much of the fight. He's like, you know, we can make it if he comes up to 130. But, you know, the fight meant more at a lower weight. And that, I think, is how I'm always going to feel about it. It should have been a 26, and they're not going to go near 26. So, I don't know. It's a fresh matchup. I prefer to see that fight.
I'm sure you'll be the subject of some of the memes, Steve.
I already have been. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of sad. It doesn't do anything for him. It really doesn't. I don't even know what to say at this point. Either he gets the fight or he doesn't. But what is keeping Roc Nation from doing their part? What are they doing on his behalf, Gabe? Really, I'm being dead serious. What are they doing on his behalf? That's their client.
Well, that's also what I was thinking when I was reading your article about Andrade. Like, he's got these promoters, and they're like, oh, it's really tough, and I'm really single-minded about getting certain fights. But okay, it's the same thing I said to Artie when he had Purog, and he kept saying, I'm single-minded, focused on getting, and I'll show you the emails where HBO is not interested in showing them, but I want to get them on HBO. And I'd say, but are you just going to put a show on
right
and worry about the date later? And I think
you know, Gabe, you're right. HBO didn't sign the fighter. You did. You know?
Right. And I feel the same way about Rigo's promoter. And across the board, I mean, I think they, you know, it's just been a mess. You know, where's Kareem
anyway,
when you need him?
Jake, thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. We still have fight review, preview, and news and notes, Gabe.
it's an indictment of his promoter, that Arrigo's promoter, that he has to sell his body out in a pretty much surefire loss to a guy up at 130 when he's at 122. Like, it's just piss poor management. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Gabe, it's Steve from Richmond, man. How you guys doing?
Good. How was lunch?
Oh, I was at Atlanta Rayleigh's. That's why I was actually
getting
my dinner. I got a question, Steve, about the Canelo Triple G undercard. I heard it start at 5:00, and how's it shaping up? How do you think the fight so far they put together looking?
Oh, well, hold on. What was that again, Fernando?
So I heard the actual undercard is starting at 5:00 for the pay per view, and I was also wondering what do you think
the
fight's going to happen?
Yeah, well, look, it's going to be Ryan Blue Chip Martin. That's going to be K2 slot. I believe Joseph Diaz is going to fight Josh Warrington for a mandatory spot in the WBC at featherweight, and then you have the fight between Diego De La Hoya and Randy Caballero. That's going to round out the card.
So do you like the fight?
Yeah. I think it's pretty solid, although I'll be honest with you, most of my attention will be focused in on Miami, Florida State at that particular time. So, you know, it's not bad. It's better than Butterbean and Mia St. John.
Oh, come on, man. I miss those days, man. That was
awesome. I don't.
I'm just kidding, man. That goes into my second question, like with the top ranked boxing, right? We got the college football season coming up. Are we going to be seeing just as many fights during the college football season? You know, with the overlapping Saturday nights and everything.
Well,
like that?
They're not. Listen, they're going to do a show October 31st. That's Halloween night. That's a Tuesday. They're going November 11th, I believe, with Jose Ramirez, and then they got December 9th or the 23rd cordoned off for Lomachenko. Now, my understanding is it's really next year when they're going to start maybe going twice a month on certain months. But they are not going to go completely dark during the fall months of 2017.
Oh, that's interesting. And one last thing. On the, not that I'm really interested in watching the whole fight, but I'm just curious. Like, is the Sean Porter fight going to be at T-Mobile also? And is there going to be any people in that stands for that fight? Considering how early it's going to be?
Yes, and probably not.
Yeah,
I mean, listen,
brutal,
if you can't – listen, we know the way boxing audiences are. They generally don't show up till about, what, an hour before the main event. Now, Sean Porter, I believe, will be on at about, what, 4:00 in the afternoon. I don't expect there to be a lot of people in that venue. Especially, Gabe, they're not selling a lot of tickets for the main event as it is.
Brutal. Yeah, it's just – what was your acronym? Too many tickets?
TMT, too many tickets. Never has $60 million in the box office looked so empty.
Yes or B.
Oh, yes right, or man. B or Spice or B, as we get all political here on the next round.
You know who's going to be a potentially big beneficiary of this ESPN deal is Jose Ramirez, man. The kid sells. That's going to look great on TV. The amount of fans,
yeah.
The amount of people that come out for him. And he's got an action style. I mean, we don't know if he's a world-class guy yet, but I think he's a TV-friendly guy. We've known that since the Olympics. That style, that drive, the way he comes into the ring, just goes after his opponents, that's going to translate great to TV. So
seeing Jose Ramirez in Fresno is on my bucket list for next year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they should consider bringing him to San Jose too, man, because those guys from Fresno, they travel. They'll travel, you know. And we're dying for some fighters up here in the Bay Area. Now that Guerrero's retired and Andre Ward, I don't know, whatever by him, but you know, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring him to San Jose, you know, just to catch a little spark over here, you know, make some money. But thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate it.
No problem. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
Let's see. 209. You're live on the next round. 209?
Oh, it's me, guys. It's me. I'm working, though. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
It's me, Dave.
Okay.
It's me, David.
We talk. What's up, Dave? Dave's not here. Let's move on up. We've actually pretty short on numbers today. I'm not really sure why, but let's go to the 323. You're live on the next round. 323? Wow, I feel like I got sent straight to
voicemail. All right, Gabe, well, let's go to some fight review and fight preview. Saturday night on BN Sports from Mexico, Robert Garcia conclusively outpoints Omar Chavez. Gabe, is this the final nail in the hammer for the whole Chavez franchise with the kids?
Yeah, I thought this was a professional outboxing. He didn't look great. I mean, he looked like the body looked good. He looked really in shape, except for all that acne on his back. I wonder where that came from. But he just got soundly outboxed. I mean, these two guys, you know, I think Donald Trump's kids might be more athletically gifted than the Chavez kids. I mean, Jesus. It's just, yeah.
Yes,
it's never going to happen.
Have they been the beneficiaries of such nepotism, though?
They're both examples of how terrible nepotism is. Yeah, because this guy wouldn't be on our TV if his name wasn't Chavez, you know, and he wasn't connected to El Gran Campeón. And this fight dispelled any sort of, I'll never say it again, you know, his career might have been better if he was named Julio. No, he'd have been just another shitty fighter named Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Yeah.
Moving on to the fight preview, set your DVRs for 7 a.m. Eastern time. Be in Sports Español from Tokyo, Japan will show live coverage of the WBC bantamweight title fight between Shinsuke Yamanaka and the highly regarded contender from Mexico, Luis Neri. Then Friday night on ESPN, Golden Boy on the four-letter network from Viva Puerto Rico, Albert Mercado takes on Carlos Morales. And Gabe, a couple of things here about the August 26th Maymac undercard. Gervonta Davis, his opponent is undefeated, but this is where you really have to do a little bit of research. Boy, that record of the guy he's facing, that is the very definition of empty calories. What a built-up record.
Cheetos might be more filling. You know, it just unbelievable, man. Yeah, and wasn't he dogging out Lobachenko? Oh, he doesn't really sell, you know. He's not really a draw. And then, I want to face on the biggest fight, well, one of the biggest fight cards of the year, Francisco Fonseca. You know, it is what it is. I think, you know, we know where they're spending their money. It's not on the B-sides. It's all in the main event. And, you know, Floyd's getting to bring his guy out. But I think it's also proof more and more that, I mean, pay-per-views, it is kind of a limited audience. Even if a lot of people buy it, I mean, it's not the same as an ESPN. So, I don't know. I think they're just showcasing their guys. These are all the hors d'oeuvres. And as one guy close to the Heyman world told me, they only wanted fighters that were going to win from their side, you know, TMT guys or Mayweather Promotions guys, whatever you want to call them, Al Heyman guys. So they're ensuring that.
In all fairness, most promotional companies do that. But, I mean, although I think Badu, Jack, Nathan, Cleverly, if Cleverly has anything left, I think that's a pretty solid introduction to 175 for Badu, Jack, and then Andrew Tabidi takes on Steve USF Cunningham. And as we mentioned before, Sean Porter takes on Thomas DeLorme on Fox from the T-Mobile Arena. Gabe, listen, I think DeLorme's okay. I know he's training now with Joel Diaz, and you know I love that guy, Joel Diaz. You know what? Coming off a solid victory over Andre Berto, Gabe, it's not a bad fight. I want to see if DeLorme can actually challenge Sean Porter, because he's one of these guys, Porter. Technically, he's so loose. On any given day, someone can give him a tough time.
Yeah, somebody can figure out the tool that kind of offsets what he does. Usually it's a good jab, you're a good 1-2 down the middle. I like DeLorme. He's a hardworking fighter. I know people make fun of him because he came out of, he drives an Uber, but, you know, I don't know anybody. I know a lot of people that drive Uber. And just, you know, boxers, they need a side hustle. They got to eat. It's probably a great thing for a boxer. He can actually make his own schedule.
Gabe,
can I
just say something? I've known of fighters. And, again, I'm like Carmelo Anthony, no snitching. A lot of fighters, when they need money in between fights, they have side hustles. They ain't legal, okay? You can imagine what I'm talking about.
Right.
DeLorme is earning an honest living. He's not selling drugs.
Yeah.
Not running in a gang. He's not, you know, running guns. You know what? I'm not making fun. To me, the question is with Floyd Mayweather, why are you putting your fighters in a position – where they even have to do that? Because he promised them a certain lifestyle that
he did.
Come with me, not Bob Arum. Well, could you imagine if all of Arum's fighters or some of them had to do a side job, what people would say about him or Golden Boy? Seriously.
Yeah,
Mayweather's the one that needs to be questioned here. It shouldn't be Delorme being ridiculed, and this is a big opportunity for him. And according to Joel Diaz, he's working him harder than in any fight or camp that he's had since. Because I think Delorme has to realize here, there's a certain realistic attitude he has to have. If he doesn't win this fight, he will become nothing more than a stepping stone or a journeyman, which he might be already, but he's got a golden opportunity on August 26th to really lift himself into a different stratosphere. 347-215-7598. This is Gabe Montoya and Steve Kim on the next round. Gabe?
Let's go 530. You're live on the next round. Or is that Ringside Robbie again? 530.
No, it's not. It's Mike from Auburn.
Mike!
Hey,
War
up,
Eagle!
Mike?
Not.
Not War Eagle.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on, Mike?
A couple of things I wanted to run past you fellows. First off, what do you see now that Vladimir has retired as next on the agenda for Anthony Joshua?
Well, Eddie Hearn has made it clear. I think they're going to take care of the IBF mandatory with Kubrat Pulev. And I think they're talking about another fight early next year and then eventually Deontay Wilder. Now, so that's about, what, a 12 to 16-month plan. My question is Deontay Wilder going to fight any time in between any of this?
He's sort of become the forgotten man. I really kind of question the way he's been matched since he won the title, whether his handlers have a whole lot of confidence in him. And whether he's obviously got the eraser in his right hand, but boy, he's got some awkward punches from time to time.
I mean, literally, I thought he looked good. I was like, wow, you know, he actually made some strides. And then the last three fights, he has literally gone backwards technically. It's bizarre.
It really is. It's bizarre, and it's a shame. Because he had a really nice story going around the time that he fought Stavern with his daughter and everything. And it seems like he's kind of getting away from the things that brought him to the stage of prominence that he could have been at. It's really a shame to see. That said, I really am interested in seeing how Anthony Joshua progresses. And if you've got a couple of minutes, I'd like to run through your thoughts on a couple of the others on my watch list.
Take your time.
Yeah,
Parker,
please do. The stage is yours.
Sounds like he's heading towards Top Rank. Does that seem about right?
You know, that Andre Ward, that's kind of been the word for a while. But I have a question. After making over $7 million on the annuity fund of Roc Nation Sports, is he willing to go back to the regular market price under Top Rank's banner? That, to me, is the big question.
Andre Ward? Is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
I don't know. I was asking about Artur Beterbiev.
Oh, boy. Beterbiev, let's just put it this way. I'm sorry, I misheard you. I don't believe that Top Rank would have bid on that fight if they thought that was going to be a one-off. There's no future investment in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of view that as good news because he's been on the shelf for a long time, and to me, he's one of the guys that when I hear he's fighting, I kind of make it a point to watch.
That's
and
another
I'm
guy.
Hoping he's not getting too old. And,
he should thank Al.
Giving away his prime. Yeah. Mm. How about Ryan Martin?
He will
fight
be fighting
live
September
16th. Yeah, and
hopefully against
a
live body.
About him? Or what are both your feelings about him?
Gabe,
Ryan Martin, I like him. Mm-hmm. I think he's got depth. I think there's something in there. I like him. I think I like the punch selection. I think he's got them all. It's more seasoning than anything at this point. And like Steve said, I want to see him face some serious firepower, some serious resistance coming back to know more about him. But I think he's ready for that.
Dmitry Bivol, any news on his next activity?
I am trying to get in touch with Vadim Kornilov, his manager, who might be overseas. They believe they're in line for the WBA title because they are the interim titleist. And I'm assuming that they're going to be in line for the winner of the Badu-Jack Nathan Cleverley fight.
That would be interesting. I kind of I'd give Bivol a reasonable chance against either of those two.
Agreed.
Don't know if he's ready to be a titleist and have to take on the best of the best or not at this point, but he's got interesting potential, that's for sure. Who's Sully B fighting next?
I don't know. I know that there was talk of him becoming the comeback opponent for Sergey Kovalev, but I have not heard any more talk of that. I'll probably have to call Kathy Duva to get some information. But, you know, I really don't know, but I know Sullivan Barrera, his track record has shown, he'll take on all comers at any time.
Boy, and they're both main event fighters. Wow, that'd be a good one. I'd be interested in that.
Yes, me
I'd
too.
I'd definitely be interested in that. So, oh, and one more, and this is a challenge for you because I don't remember his name, Steve, but the fellow that fought on the Thompson boxing card as the co-main, he was, I think, from a reasonably local, and I can't remember where.
Oh, Ruben Villa.
That's
Ruben
right.
Villa will be fighting either in September or October. They plan on keeping him busy. I think he's a very, very good prospect.
You think they'll have a card up here in Sacramento for him, or will he just go down to Ontario?
According to Alex Campanovo, they did very, very well at the gate back about, what, 6-7 weeks ago. They will be back. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but certainly next year, I think Sacramento will once again be in the rotation.
Well, Chris has already told me when they fight up here again, she wants to go this time.
Okay, well, you know what? It'll be a fun time, and hopefully the sun will go down a little sooner.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for me. I'll let you go then.
Thank you very much.
I do have one more question. Where has Jimmy Marino gone? Or Jimmy
He's listening. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
He is listening.
Well,
he's reached out. But
Jimmy,
anyway,
if you're listening, we miss you.
Yes. Yes, but Jimmy's corner is still always hovering. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
I think we've actually hit the bottom of the well. I'm not quite sure if we have any left. Let me check this one last unlisted caller. You're live on the next round. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
There's a person. Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
Talk to us.
Where's Jimmy V?
I guess
hello?
Not. Okay, that's a knockdown. Get rid of him.
Okay.
Gabe, news and notes here. A couple of things before we wrap it up. September 22nd, Tucson, Arizona, ESPN in Top Rank. It'll be a doubleheader featuring a pair of WBO titleists, featherweight belt holder Oscar Valdez, and then WBO 68-pounder Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez will be taking on Jesse Hart. This will be at the Tucson Arena, and it'll be interesting to see if Top Rank can build this market. And also, October 13th, I like this fight, Gabe. I think this is going to be some fun television. Golden Boy on ESPN, Fidel Maldonado taking on Ismael Barroso. I think someone's going to hit the deck here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Maldonado, but you know, that's kind of a 50-50 bet on those fights. But I think it's a good fight. I think that's a really good fight. All action.
Gabe, anyone else on the line, or do we call it quits early tonight?
We do have somebody on the line. 650, you're live on the next round. 650? Either that or I'm just a knockdown machine tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we get an early night of it.
Gabe,
that's absolutely fine.
Programming reminder for our audience: we're gonna be on a regular schedule next Monday, and in fact, we'll have Jim Boone on. And anyone that really does want to go to Mayweather McGregor, he'll tell you how to get the best deals. And anyone that buys tickets right now, you're a damn fool. So just again, listen to Jimmy Boone next Monday, Mr. KO Tickets, and then the next two shows, it works out perfectly. You get to go to Burning Man. I get to watch college football. So we will be back, I believe, Gabe, for the week, the Monday of Superfly, correct?
Yes. Yeah, for, you know, actual fights instead of a circus. It'll be great.
Okay. So, all right, so one last rundown. Is there any more calls we can get to, Gabe?
No, I think actually we've closed it out. It's a bunch of unlisted numbers, and I'm just I'm tired of knocking them down.
Yeah, they're unlisted, and now they're unplugged. All right, well, that's it for this week's edition of The Next Round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Dwenneth. On behalf of Gabriel Montoya, this is Steve Kim saying, till the next round, goodbye, everybody.
These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Visit economist.com/free copy for a sensible, more considered view. Visit economist.com/free copy now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. New subscribers only. Terms and conditions apply.